very hospitable man.
Wow.
We believe that all men are created
equal
to the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From Radio Beacon to Radio Beacon.
Change has come to America.
Believe me.
Help is on the way.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show.
Turn up your mind.
Special counsel Jack Smith speeding ahead with a pair of criminal probes around former President Donald Trump.
He promised to the American people in his own statement that there would be no pause or hiccup in his work. And I understand that that is exactly what's going on now.
Prosecutors in the Mar-a-Lago documents case taking an aggressive approach as they asked a judge to hold Trump in contempt for failing to comply with a subpoena over the summer, demanding Trump return all documents with classified markings.
This is a new hoax, the document hoax.
DOJ hitting a setback as the judge refused to hold Trump in contempt, but notching a victory as the third-party review of documents seized from Trump's Florida resort officially comes to an end. Judge Eileen Cannon dismissing the case today, giving DOJ access to tens of thousands of records and other items from Mar-a-Lago. Investigators also plugging away on their probe into efforts to subvert the 2020 election. A source tells CNN they're asking those in Trump's orbit about the former president's involvement and knowledge of events leading up to January 6th. The special counsel staff, already twice as big as Robert Mueller's team in the Russia probe, including 20 prosecutors on January 6th efforts to overturn the 2020 election.
We will never give up. We will never concede. It doesn't happen.
And prosecutors have been looking at potential financial crimes in an under-the-radar part of their probe, digging into Trump's post-election fundraising arm, the Save America PAC, according to subpoenas viewed by CNN. All of this is the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th Capitol attack convened privately over the weekend.
We have some things to decide as to whether we make referrals on information that we uncovered during our investigation.
Aiming to nail down a list of individuals they plan to refer to the Justice Department to be considered for criminal prosecution. Among those under consideration, Trump, former Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, former DOJ official Jeffrey Clark, and attorneys Rudy Giuliani and John Eastman.
If we do make referrals, we want to be very careful about how we do them. But I think we're all certainly in agreement that there is evidence of criminality here.
Now, we are also learning that the special counsel has subpoenaed Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. Of course, Raffensperger was on a call with Trump after the 2020 election, where Trump asked Raffensperger to find the votes needed for Trump to win the state of Georgia, which he lost. So this is one of a number of election officials that the special counsel has made clear prosecutors want to talk to.
Oh, it's only 2 years. It's only been 2 years, everybody. Oh, okay. All right, then. He's moving full steam ahead, everybody. Full steam ahead, making progress. The special counsel, Jack Smith, is making progress, is what's going on. And the case of the special master is dead, which sounds like a really bad kung fu movie. The case of the special master is dead. Cheesy, very cheesy movie. But this case is full of more twists and turns than any kung fu movie, any martial arts, anything that I've ever seen. I don't understand. But now we're supposed to put our faith and our trust in Jack, everybody. It's Jack. You don't know Jack, but we'll know Jack, is what it is. I mean, the man literally admitted on a stage in front of all of us and his maggots that he took the damn documents and that they were his, right? He said that. And of course, you know, then he goes to court and he says, you know, to this personally picked judge, you know, he went judge shopping, right? He went judge shopping for this particular judge, Judge Eileen Cannon, who was just told by the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. This is Jack's case, by the way. This is, Jack actually said to the prosecutors, go ahead and file that case. I think all the legal arguments you made were valid and germane and could produce the result that we seek, which is to create the dead special master issue. And the 11th Circuit told Judge Eileen Cannon that she had no right to take the case in the first place, which is what we were saying, months ago. Months ago. In the oven you go. No, I'm serious. I mean, it's just like, so he went judge shopping, right? But, just know this, that was not a rental. Okay, that was a purchase. That judge is purchased. And now some people are saying we need to take a good look-see at her and find out why a judge, a federal judge, didn't know that she did not have jurisdiction to hear this case. I mean, what's she going to say? My boss made me do it, right? What is she going to say? Donald Trump is not her boss anymore. So she can't even use that as an excuse. I mean, it's just, it's so ridiculous. But, you know, look, the whole point of all of Trump's litigious efforts is to slow it all down. And in that respect, it freaking worked. If that was the goal, which obviously it was, then he succeeded. I mean, it's like he slows everything down. This is his MO. This is how he deals with court cases. This is how he deals with fraud. This is how he deals with criminal, you know, accusation. He just slows the whole thing down. Look, even Weisselberg over there, how long did that take to get to court? I mean, forever, like 4 years. It's just so that the lumbering lug can keep up with the court system. He just slows it all down, slows it all down. And we know that that's true because he admitted that he took the documents, what, a year ago? How long has it been? And so Preet Bharara was asked, you know, by Chucky. Chuck Todd asked him over the weekend, you know, like, what is the dealio? I mean, why does it take so long? And Preet Bharara's explanation was, you know, pretty much when you aim for the king, you can't miss kind of thing. And that all the ducks have to be in a row. All the ducks. He should be a dead duck by now. He should be a cooked duck. He should be being served, you know, under a silver platter, on a silver platter by now with a, you know, what do they call those? Somebody in the audience, I know that begins with a C. The dome that goes over your food, it's silver, and you, right? It's called a something with a C. It's a French word. Anyway, I mean, it should be done by now. He should be served, but he's not served.
He's already admitted he took it. What do you think justice is waiting for?
Close. Oh, the Justice Department? Oh, yeah. Look, I think they're, to coin a phrase, loaded for bear.
Yeah.
They've appointed a special counsel, Jack Smith. There are a number of very seasoned prosecutors, two of whom I worked with very closely at the Southern District of New York when I was U.S. attorney and before that, who I think are brought on for purposes of figuring out if there's a triable case, a chargeable and triable case. And I don't think they would have left their former positions, mm-hmm. both in government and in private practice, unless there was a serious possibility that the Justice Department was on a path to charge. And
your definition
of
triable case, meaning you can win it, you have all the evidence, or that you can, because you can have all the evidence but not win it. Trial, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think those are you know, intertwined.
Yeah,
they're not going to proceed. You generally do not proceed unless you have a great likelihood of success. But the prerequisite is that you believe that the person is guilty of the crime, right? And when you're charging somebody in maybe the highest stakes trial in some ways in history, because it's a former president of the United States, you got to have all your ducks in a row.
All your ducks in a row. He should be. It's a cloche, right? Is it a cloche? Right? I think it's a cloche. I don't know.
I know we'll get calls. I know we will. So we'll get it figured out what it is.
The dome that goes over your food. I think it's called a cloche. I'm not sure.
My researching skills have been lacking. Lately. So I'm going to let the audience handle it.
Yeah, that's a good plan, Brett. What a great.
Oh, yeah. Never fails. Always a good idea. Please. Let the audience run the show.
Oy. All right. So anyway, so that's the documents portion. The other portion, the insurrection portion, you know, the violent portion where he said, you know, you got to fight like hell because if you don't, you won't have a country anymore. And then people brutally attacked police officers and, you know, broke windows and smeared their feces all over the Congress of the United States of America. So that has been something that, oh, my God. Now we find out through Talking Points Memo, a journalist at Talking Points Memo named Hunter Walker has this entire disclosure that there were 2,319 text messages on Mark Meadows' phone that were discovered all these many years ago when Mark Meadows was originally cooperating with the January 6th committee. And now he is looking at these extraordinary, disturbing communications and publishing them. And apparently Mark Meadows had texted 34 members of Congress, and some of them were saying, declare martial law now, it's our only hope. if you're like me, you're probably a bit frustrated with the state of our political system today. So why does American democracy look the way it does? And how can we make it more responsive to the people it was formed to serve? Democracy Decoded, a podcast by Campaign Legal Center, examines our government and discusses innovative ideas that could lead to a stronger, more transparent, accountable, and inclusive democracy. In season two, host Simone Leeper covers everything you need to know about voting in the U.S. She speaks with experts from across the country and voters representing impacted communities about the deliberate barriers to voting that exist today. And she asks, how can we make our voting systems more inclusive? Because our democracy works best when every voter can participate. Listen to the latest season at democracydecoded.org. or wherever you get your podcasts, democracydecoded.org.